What do car sales, voting, ride sharing, real estate, insurance, sports management, loyalty cards, and gun tracking all have in common? These and many more industries are poised to be turned upside down, completely disrupted by blockchain technology. We'll hit on 30 such industries and make you feel really smart that you're learning all this right now. Someone's going to have to explain it to your friends. This and more on the 35th episode of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
Yep.
I got Muppets on my mind and my mind on Muppets. I used to love that bit on Sesame Street.
And you actually got to see the very first debut of Sesame Street back in the day, you told me, right?
I did, because I'm very old. I think I was 4 years old in 1968 or 69, whenever it debuted. And I remember my mom showing me the TV guide, you know, and it would come with the Sunday paper. And there was a picture of Muppets on. I don't remember who it was, but she's like, there's a new show coming on TV. And it's got these, they're puppets, but they call them Muppets. Do you want to watch it? And we saw, you know, with Gordon and Mr. Hooper and all that. So those of you who are younger, I know you know Sesame Street, but this is really, really dating, because that would have been like 48, 49 years ago. Anyway, that's what you get when you listen to the Bad Crypto Podcast. It is the podcast for the crypto curious and the crypto serious. We are the Blockchain Blockheads. I'm Joel Kamm, and he is Travis Wright.
Yes, and we are so serious all the time. We no longer crack jokes or do accents or make it fun in any way.
No, we refuse to sing songs, because we did get a couple emails saying, you guys aren't funny. Stop singing songs. Get serious. And our simple answer to that is, Yep. Nope. No, because this is what you get here. And those of you who get us, you are citizens of Bad Cryptopia. And we're glad you're here.
Absolutely. We're having a lot of fun. And if we didn't have fun, then we wouldn't do it. And so if we try to take our personality away from what it is that we do, the show would be really boring. And there's a whole lot of really super serious. Actually, I think we're the only crypto podcast out there that is not always serious. So we have that
going. Yeah, or shilling, you know, or, you know, pumping and dumping coins. And, you know, by the way, we love the questions that you guys are sending us, but just so you know, we don't make coin recommendations. Some of you are emailing or voicemailing our Google Voice Assistant, who needs a name. She needs a name. But, and you're asking us, well, what do you think of this coin or that coin? And our answer is going to be, you know, we don't share.
Silence.
Yeah. Our answer is crickets.
That is true. That is true. So episode 35. We are here. We're getting up there in age. We're almost in middle age now.
I know. We're here and you're all here with us. And of course, we're in the thick of Bad Cryptober, and lots of you are getting free Badcoin, badco.in/Bad Cryptober. And of course, we've already spoken a lot about this on previous episodes. Just go to that page and join the ranks of the citizens of Bad Cryptopia that are on their way to becoming Badcoin millionaires.
Yeah, and we just want to iterate that, because this is a great way for you to, you know, share the show with your audience and with your friends. You're enjoying the show, you're tuning in, you're listening, and you want your friends to become up to speed with the show as well, right? So make sure to let them know to start at episode 001, because we are, you know, very serial in nature. Those first 12 to 15 episodes set the foundation of what's going on in the crypto space. A lot of times people can listen to the first couple, and we've heard so many comments where people have said, wow, we listened to the first couple episodes and I learned more about cryptocurrency than I had in 6 months or a year studying it on my own.
I need to go back and listen to those so I can learn something.
I know. We were just talking out of our orifices at that time, I think, right?
You know what the crypto chicks say about us?
I don't.
They say that Travis and Joel, they're so linear.
They're so serial in nature. They're not serious. But they're serial.
But we are serious about wanting you to ask us your questions. So whether you go to badcryptopodcast.com and click the contact link, or you email us at badcryptopodcast@gmail.com, or perhaps you message on our Facebook page, or call the Bad Crypto hotline, which is...
The number is 708-885-9030. And please try to keep your message, 90 seconds or less.
Even 90, no, 20 to 30. Just be brief.
Get a brief.
90's too long.
Well, some of them are like 3 minutes and they come in and they do another 3 minutes and they haven't told us all what they wanted to say. So, brevity is the...
I'm going to demonstrate right now. Boop, 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 boop. Joel and Travis are not available. Please leave your message at the sound of the tone.
Beep. Hey, Joel and Travis. This is Bob. I'm from Cincinnati. My question is, how are you two so awesome? Thanks. Stay bad.
Beep. That's it. That was
the perfect one. And we would say genetics and then the love of learning and being curious most of our lives and, never accepting the status quo, always keeping learning and growing is probably something we would answer to that.
And now let's go to a real question.
Bad Crypto Inbox. You got mail.
Well, it's not really a question. I mean, there is a question there, but it's more a helpful comment from one of our listeners, and his name is Homer.
He never hears that.
So, I don't care. I've never said it, so I get to say.
Donuts. All right. He said, I am a small business owner starting an absinthe distillery in Missoula, Montana. I accept Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dash, and anything on the Ethereum blockchain as payment, but it is a bit more complicated than I am competent to handle professionally. So to pay for a t-shirt in my online store with crypto, you must send to the address listed and then email me your order details, how much currency that you've sent me when you send it. Because everything is anonymous, this is the easiest way that I and my puny mind have figured out how to accept crypto. When it comes down to it, I haven't written a smart contract for these transactions yet, and you must trust me as a human being and business owner to physically send your product to you. If you're buying something from me in person, you just transfer to the address and I'll give you the product in the good old days, like the good old days, and then I'll transfer some of that crypto coin to my POS system, and then boom, it's a deal. So Joel and Travis, I'm like you guys, and then I'm just figuring this out as I go, but it's been a goal of mine to integrate crypto into my day-to-day business. So before it's all said and done, you're going to be able to walk into the distillery, transfer Bitcoin to the computer, and then have a glass of 3D printed right in front of you with your counter. So we're not too far off. Thanks for building this community. It takes a community like the one you guys are building to come together, make the change we want to see, and figure out things as we go. So here's to the future, boys. Clink.
Homer. And we can give a shout out. That was a nice message. His website for his distillery is BryceDistillery.com. It's there in the show notes. And it's good to see that people are trying. And if you are a merchant and you want to know, how do I receive Bitcoin? How do I sell my stuff and get Bitcoin? There's an episode titled How to Get Paid in Bitcoin. That was just a few episodes ago. It's dated September 29th, 2017. And it just dawned on me that somebody's going to be listening to this 5 years from now. Somebody's going to hear this episode and go, oh, it was a new episode. September 2017. What am I listening to? Also, recently we had a member of the Ether Party team, the episode called Ether Party, and I'll Buy If I Want To, and their ICO is complete, and they are going to, or at least they're promising to, make it simple for people to create smart contracts. And certainly that's something that Homer's going to be able to use, and many merchants will be able to use.
That is true. And if you want to listen to that How to Get Paid in Bitcoin episode, that is episode 30. So badco.in/030 will take you to that exact episode if you are a merchant and want to learn how to accept crypto at your business.
Let's check out what's happening in the news. It looks like a Cointelegraph.com day, Travis, because I just noticed that the three stories that were pulled from the Flipboard are all from Cointelegraph. So it's one of the publications that we like and find lots of newsworthy stories. And by the way, the Flipboard is super popular. And if you guys want to see how we're curating the news stories for the show, we drop them into our Flipboard, which is at badcode.in/flip. And yeah, you kind of get a little leg up on what we might be talking about.
There's some really great articles in there. We like to make sure that anything that pops up in the space that may be noteworthy to add it to that Flipboard. We're closing in on about 25,000 page flips on that thing already. That's huge. So getting a lot of visibility. So, and I think probably one of the reasons why we chose the Cointelegraph one is because they always have really cool illustrations on all. They all have unique illustrations. Pictures. I love the pictures.
Like pictures. Here, this first story: recent Ethereum upgrade may make Wall Street fall in love with blockchain. Oh, blockchain! Oh, blockchain! Wherefore art thou, blockchain? For we are Wall Street, and we have thy money. So, what's this all about?
So, right. So, Wall Street, you know, over time, they're kind of up and down about blockchain. They're not big fans of Bitcoin, right? Because central banks cannot control it. And, you know, there's been some large banks out there that are trying to pursue patents to do some of the same things that can be done in a decentralized manner. But one of the biggest problems is with the privacy. And so a lot of these financial platforms have problems with blockchain because of privacy. They like to keep everything sort of hidden, right? And a lot of blockchain keeps it transparent and in the open. However, the key issue for traders is to keep their positions a secret in order to keep other traders and competitors out of the loop. And so blockchain does provide that immutability and makes it immovable. It does not provide enough security for that. And so now there's the new zero knowledge proofs or ZK SNARK proofs is something that's popping up. And that's being enabled on the Ethereum blockchain following the network's Byzantium upgrade. So now they have a chance to offer anonymity and immutability on a single chain. And Bloomberg said this: its ability to reshape vital financial market functions like clearing and settlement has always hinged on whether banks can keep customer and proprietary data secret. Zero knowledge proofs, a theoretical possibility for decades, is now a reality, letting transactions be verified without the need to share any of that underlying data.
I want to have a moment here to make sure everybody really is clear on the revolution that is taking place, on how transformative blockchain technology is to so many industries. And that's actually going to be the feature today. And this really just highlights it, that, you know, Wall Street can go, now we're seeing how this can really be used to our advantage. It's going to change and reshape, as Bloomberg says, the way that they do things.
Yes. And here's a great definition of that. So zero knowledge cryptography is used as a method for verifying a ledger entry without revealing the identity of any of the parties.
See, and I thought zero knowledge was the definition of this podcast.
Well, we have a little bit of knowledge, not a lot.
Something. We have like a point. We have a half a Satoshi's worth of knowledge.
I don't know, Joel. Satoshis are not divisible.
That's right. It is. It's
so we do have some knowledge.
Okay. We have a Satoshi worth. And we, you know, here's our two Satoshis worth. Two Satoshis is going to replace the two.
Yes. Cents. Yes. I like that. That was
good. You know, recently on an ICO spotlight, we featured a company called HorizonState.com that is disrupting the voting industry, as it were, trying to bring legitimacy to voting. And now there's an article in Cointelegraph: blockchain may help prevent voting fraud, increase government's responsiveness. This is a huge problem. Anybody who doesn't know that voter fraud is a real thing, there's more than enough evidence in so many districts that demonstrate that there are people voting more than once. There's people from other states that are voting in states that they're not, you know, registered in. There are
dead people voting.
Dead people voting, undocumented people voting. And now that I get a closer look at this article, it actually is, there's a quote in it from Jamie Skella, the co-founder of Horizon State. And so the whole point is to overcome voting fraud and provide a digital ballot box that keeps fraud from occurring during elections. One voter, one vote. And that's what a true democracy is.
Absolutely. And what's interesting as well is, you know, Estonia, the country in Europe, they are completely blockchainized. Their whole government has been blockchainized. And now what happens is about 45% of their voters are voting from their computers. Right. So they're just they log in from their computer or from their phone and they're able to place that vote. You don't have to go into a line you don't have to go to some voting place to do that or polling place. You're just able to do that there. They basically blockchainized their entire government and decentralized their government. And I think that is a great precedent for other countries to follow, because if we can get to the place where these are immutable, they're immovable, they're uncensorable, they are unchangeable, that is where we want to go. You don't have to worry about the news talking about how Russia hacked our election for 8 months without actually showing any evidence of that other than anonymous sources. And so this comes into a place where things are, you know, not as anonymous. There's a lot of transparency in this, which we love.
Russia hacked my refrigerator. I don't remember buying bacon and eggs, and yet I went in there and there it was. We are sending breakfast to refrigerator, are hacking it. Sending meat and poultry produces to your refrigerator. I have no evidence of that, by the way, but I want it to be a headline story on CNN.
Yes. Well, just got to reach out to the right person, I guess. So the IMF is another piece of news. We're talking about them. They could issue an international cryptocurrency to replace the dollar. So decentralized centrality, is that a thing? That's been one of the problems with global digital currency, is the centralization, right? That's what those central bankers love. They love to be able to print as many dollars as they can without oversight or transparency. I look at the US dollar as the ultimate shitcoin. It has no cap. There's as many as they want to print. There's no oversight. There's no transparency. And good luck knowing how many are actually in circulation, which is why things get more expensive, because they keep printing more dollars.
I don't even know how many I have, you know, forget trying to count the whole world supply. I got dollars here. There's some in my car. I mean, I don't even know how many I'm circulating, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually, remember we just, a recent episode, there was a story that talked about Christine Lagarde, who's the head of the IMF. And she was encouraging banks and governments to not shortchange, not overlook Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So, you know, maybe those comments are making some others stand up and take notice.
Yeah, it would make sense to me that in the next, probably by 2020, we'll start seeing more of these. We'll probably see an IMF coin, right? Because right now, the US dollar is the world's global reserve currency, which means that if you want to buy oil or other commodities, you must transfer your currency into dollars first and then purchase the oil with those dollars. Those days are numbered, folks. And cryptocurrency, you know, even if it is an official cryptocurrency that has not been created yet, it would most likely make sense to me that that's going to happen sooner than later. So to dismiss blockchain and to dismiss cryptocurrencies as a fad is really funny to me.
I just, you know, if you're out there and you're new to all this and you're kicking yourself just a little bit and going, you know, my nephew's cousin's neighbor's dog told me about this 3 years ago and I didn't listen and I could have gotten in, or we're all doing that, except the guys who got in early. But, you know, even we, you know, have been doing this show now for a few months and we missed the big run up. You know, if we had bought 7 months ago, we'd be really sitting pretty right now. And so I don't know what this has to do with the story. I was just thinking about
it. I'm really kicking myself because I wrote an article in Huffington Post talking about voter ID and blockchain as solutions to the problem back in December of 2016. And I still didn't jump in and buy as many as I should have.
Are you sure you're not Satoshi Nakamoto?
I am not Tamoto him. Not him. Satoshi, so that's the news. Satoshi Nakamoto.
As long as we're talking about disruption so much, let's hop over to the feature story and talk more disruption.
Ha! Hit me. Good God. Ha!
And it's time for the feature story.
Good God. Hit me.
Travis, you're being disruptive.
Oh, sorry about that. I was harnessing my personal James Brown.
jump back, get myself. Is the water warm?
Ah, good God.
Is the water wet? Well, 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 hot tub.
Too hot in a hot tub. Ha,
now, that's sweat. When Saturday Night Live used to be funny before they were political partisan hacks, they were funny, and Eddie Murphy did the best James Brown. They were hilarious.
That was so good. Those couple of years with Eddie Murphy in there was like, I remember I would stay up and watch those and just laugh. Mr. Robinson Neighborhood. Like, there were just so many good ones. It was just,
I'm sure they're all on YouTube now. So we're talking disruption and we're being disruptive. And what we're going to do is go really quickly through 30 industries just to show you how prevalent, how widespread the potentialities and possibilities of blockchain are. And this is a wide swath that we're going to cover here. This is actually in the show notes, cbinsights.com. If you want to follow the bouncing ball, the link is in the show notes.
Sounds great. Yeah. So obviously banking is one industry that is being disrupted by the blockchain. If you've heard any of our episodes, you know that we talk about this quite regularly. So banks are definitely among the growing number of these sort of financial service giants that are investing in blockchain and fintech. So that industry is being disrupted.
And also from the files of Captain Obvious, number two is payments and money transfers. And of course, one instance that really demonstrates the power of this is Coinbase.com. They have, as of this article, which was written in August 2017, served over 9 million customers for buying, selling Bitcoin, Ether, and Litecoin. And they are the first cryptocurrency company in the global unicorn club. And who doesn't want to be a unicorn? By the way, many of you that are getting started in crypto, Coinbase is how we recommend to do that. We've got a great affiliate link that when you use the link we're about to give you or click on in the show notes and you sign up for Coinbase to buy either Bitcoin, Litecoin, or Ethereum, and you spend your first $100, they will give you $10 in free Bitcoin. And at the same time, they'll give us $10. So go grab your $10 at badco.in/Coinbase. So the payment industry is being disruptified. Number three.
Do it. Number three, cybersecurity, right? So a lot of you guys may not know this about me, but I was a global digital strategist at Symantec for the Norton brand. And so cybersecurity is something that I understand and get. And the blockchain, right? It is actually helping advance these cryptographic technologies. There are still things that are being hacked. There's still some probability of some things being hacked, but not necessarily the blockchain. It's, you know, people's websites have been hacked. If you look at all the different hacks that's actually happened in, you know, when new ICOs are happening and some of these other things are happening, it's basically what's happening is the website is getting hacked, or there's other things, or there's been some sort of software issues, like Parity is a company that got hacked, and they had actually was using, they were creating all these different wallets. So, you know, cryptocurrency and cybersecurity go hand in hand. And, you know, we saw what happened not long ago with Equifax getting hacked and all of their data that got stolen, all of our social security numbers and all that other data. Like,
they didn't get mine.
Yeah, they can put that on the blockchain and create more security, right? And there's actually a company based out of Amsterdam called GuardTime that created this thing, their blockchain-enabled KSI keyless signature infrastructure. They basically set that up, and they actually were one of the leaders who helped Estonia become blockchainized, actually.
And number four, you know, there's issues with academia, credentials of your grades and your degrees. There's a lot of people that have faked their credentials. You know, we discover much later down the process that somebody didn't really go to such and such school or didn't take these classes.
Remember that CEO of Yahoo that did that? Like, wasn't it Yahoo, the CEO of them? He like, he didn't have his computer science degree or something. And then they let him go. And then they hired Marissa Meyer. So yeah.
Blockchain can solve that. They could streamline verification and keep all documentation and credentials on the blockchain.
Very good. Voting. We've talked about this in as recently as a couple episodes ago, the last ICO spotlight that we did with Horizon State.
We actually just talked about it in the news today.
We just talked about it in the news today. Remember that earlier today when we talked about it in the news about 10 minutes?
That was great.
That was great. This is the Bad Crypto Podcast, folks. Well, there's another one. There's another company, Follow My Vote, right, that allows this to happen. So, you know, elections, they do require that authentication of voter identity, and there are more than one solution out there. So, good stuff.
Number six is car leasing and sales, and blockchain could change all this. So, the news here is that Visa partnered with DocuSign on a proof of concept project that used blockchain to streamline car leasing, transforming it into a click, sign, and drive process. Nice and simple. You pick the car you want, it goes on the blockchain ledger, and then while you're in the driver's seat, you sign the lease agreement and the insurance policy, blockchain immediately is updated, and off you go in your new car.
Very nice. Next up is networking and Internet of Things, right? So there are a couple of companies out there that are doing some stuff here, but the Internet of Things has a challenge because without a central control system to identify each device from one another, you know, that's going to be hard for them to communicate with other devices autonomously and to be able to manage software updates and bugs and energy management and whatnot. So, you know, you guys have probably heard of IOTA, IOTA. That's IoT, right? Internet of Things. So they are building a protocol as well. There's another company called Filament, Filament, that is providing a decentralized network for IoT sensors to communicate with one another. Interesting stuff.
Number eight is forecasting. You know, it all comes down to data, and blockchain does data well. It secures data in that immutable ledger. And so having predictions markets out there that will allow people to forecast events and be rewarded for predicting them correctly. There's one such market now. It's called Augur. It's built on the Ethereum blockchain. And this is a decentralized service that will enable users to place bets not only on sports and stocks, but on other topics such as elections and natural disasters.
Number nine, music and entertainment rights and IP, right? So we had Musiconomy on, I think episode 21, I believe, or one of those, 23. And so, you know, the music industry needs disruption in a big way because of those big wigs at those companies. They'll bring on a music band, they'll bring on an artist or whatever, and they'll just like own the majority of their work, right? And so what this is doing is like through the creation of smart contracts, you're actually able to divide the assets a little better, right? So we talked about that pretty in depth. So if we're a band and I'm the lead singer and Joel wrote the song and plays guitar and we have a drummer, then basically since he wrote the song and did what he's doing in the band, he should get a greater percentage. And so every time those get released and those songs get listened to, that money can be distributed. And so there's a few companies out there. Mycelia is doing something, Big Chain DB, Jack, J-A-A-K. So there's some companies out there that are trying to turn music and this media into smart contracts that can self-execute license transactions on the Ethereum blockchain.
Pay me for my music. Number 10, ride sharing. You know, many of us have used Uber or Lyft. Those are not decentralized. Those are centralized dispatch hubs. You know, using their app, they control the fleet of drivers. But blockchain could bring new options that would let drivers have more control. One of them is called Arcade City that allows all transactions through blockchain to operate similarly to ride sharing apps like Uber and Lyft, but lets drivers come up with their own rates, you know, so if they want to take a different percentage of rider fares, kind of, it's very much the same as what we were talking about with music, right? You decide how much you're going to get and how much you're going to pass on to the customer. And number 11.
Take me down to the Arcade City. Oh, won't you please? All right. Number 11 is stock trading. And, you know, this is definitely an area for disruption as well. So there is a company out there called T-Zero, which is actually a subsidiary of Overstock. And we are going to talk about this in a future episode when we release the Patrick Byrne interview. So basically this enables stock transactions online using blockchain technology. And they, you know, they definitely integrate cryptographically secure distributed ledgers. And so allegedly it reduces settlement time and cost and increases transparency, allows for better auditability. There's some other companies out there, a company called Chain that is doing some stuff as well that is connecting to NASDAQ and Citi's banking infrastructure.
Number 12 is real estate. You know, it says here pain points for buying and selling property include lack of transparency during and after transactions. There's lots of paperwork, there's fraud, there's errors. Blockchain can fix that. So that's going to be cool to see how that works.
Yes. Number 13, insurance, right? So there are a lot of different ways that this create this public record on the blockchain to make it available to insure these assets on various different platforms. So a lot of cool ways that could be utilized. For sure.
Number 14 is healthcare. We just spoke with a representative from BlockRx.com about how they are disrupting the pharmaceutical portion of the healthcare industry. And there's so much more to it, right? It comes both doctor and patient and then administrative. All of this can be put on blockchain to better treat patients and for more legitimate profitability for the medical industry, right? The more we keep everybody honest across the board, the more everybody wins.
Number 15, supply chain management. I think this is a great one as well because, you know, blockchain enables more secure, transparent monitoring of transactions, and supply chains are basically a series of transaction nodes that link and move products from point A to the point of sale. And so we talked about that actually with, as you just mentioned, BlockRx. They also have a supply chain issue within their pharmaceutical business. So supply chains are definitely a key area for disruption.
How about cloud storage? You know, right now, most of the cloud services we use, whether it's Dropbox or, you know, Google Drive, it's a centralized server. So if that server gets hacked, it's vulnerable and your data could be, you know, available to hackers. But cloud storage solutions that are decentralized change how that works. And there's one mentioned on the site here called Storage, S-T-O-R-J. I've also researched one called Sia, which is the currency is Sia coin that lets users can rent out their unused storage space in peer-to-peer. So this is a whole new market for crowdsourcing cloud storage.
Yep. Filecoin is another one that we've chatted about. All right, number 17, energy management. So when it comes down to energy, right, you have a Hertz, right? One little Hertz so good of energy. You can actually tokenize that. And we had the CEO, I believe, of Power Ledger on an ICO, which was interesting because that's kind of what they're doing. If there's extra, you have extra juice in your solar panels, or you have some in your wind farm or battery farm, you can actually take that energy back and sell it. So this is an area that, you know, the whole energy grid is being, you know, set up, put on the blockchain, which enables a lot of flexibility and getting people off of that centralized system.
Number 18, sports management. You know, a decentralized sports management belongs to agencies and corporations that basically they invest in the athletes and they're the ones that get the payout and the commission. But what if you could use blockchain for where individuals could invest using a cryptocurrency? There's one called the Jetcoin Institute. And they're jet coins. You invest in your favorite athlete and you get a small portion of that athlete's future earnings as well as some other benefits that totally decentralized.
That is really interesting there. All right. Number 19, gift cards and loyalty programs, right? So this is another way that blockchain can help retailers is, you know, they offer the gift cards. They can make them less expensive, more secure, less middlemen. And, you know, because I know that whenever you set up a gift card scenario within your business, there's all kinds of things you got to go through to get that thing to actually work. And then there's also all these potential fraud that can happen within that. So the blockchain really enables unique verification capability, which is going to save on cost and prohibit illegitimate users from obtaining stolen accounts.
And speaking of fraud, is there any group that needs decentralization more than the government? Public records, you know, there is so much fraud. There is so much that is still paper-based. There is a lack of accountability in government, and government and public records are going to be disrupted by blockchain. Delaware is working on it. There's some initiatives in Illinois, Vermont, and some other states, and Eastern Europe. There's some groups that are working with the Georgian government to secure and track government records. Let's bring it.
Yes. And number 21 is gun tracking. So there's a startup called BlockSafe that is focusing on creating a blockchain-based system for weapons tracking and accountability, which enables gun owners to be able to track their weapons locations and to stay informed whether their weapons have been lost or if they've been fired or if someone else has them, right? So having guns is part of the, you know, Second Amendment in America, but we do need to make them safer, and hopefully blockchain can help with tracking on that to make things a little safer.
Number 22, wills and inheritances, because spoiler alert, we're all going to die. Sorry, Travis. But oftentimes there's challenges to the genuineness of a will. You know, is it legal? Is this what the deceased really intended to do? Blockchain won't completely solve that problem, but it makes it a lot easier to identify the facts, provide transaction data, and move past any frivolous types of claims. So what if there was a death master file that was maintained by the U.S. Social Security Office and it verified a person did in fact die? This is the essence of where smart contracts really could come into play.
That is true. Great stuff. And then also moving forward is retail. Obviously, retail is an area that relies on customers' trust within that system, right? And, you know, there's a lot of trust with Amazon, but blockchain is going to decentralize that trust and attach it more to sellers of various marketplaces and platforms rather than the sites themselves. So a company like Open Bazaar is developing some decentralized blockchain utilities that is going to allow some open source peer-to-peer stuff. There's another company out there called Wishnish that is doing some stuff in the retail space as well.
Yeah. And while we're waiting for Amazon to start accepting Bitcoin, I don't understand why Walmart doesn't just take, you know, the lead on that. Overstock's already done it. And while Jeff Bezos is waiting for whatever reason, love to see Walmart jump in there. Not that people of Walmart necessarily know what Bitcoin is yet, but they will. Number 24 is charity. You know, when we donate money to a cause, we want to make sure it gets into the hands of the people that we're donating to for that reason. But there is a lot of problems with that. There are administrative fees that are exorbitant in some cases, and we just want to make sure that there's no financial misconduct. And so Bitcoin-based charities like BitGive Foundation are using blockchain to give donors visibility and to make sure that the funds go to what they are intended to.
You know, and that's so huge. How many times have you heard of these big charities that have gotten all this money, but then like only 10% of that actually goes to the cause that you want it to go to? So
criminal.
I like that. Speaking of criminal, number 25, law enforcement. A lot of times, you know, you got to maintain the integrity of the evidence, you know, in the chain of evidence within some of these cases. So that's why a blockchain could be very helpful here. You got this distributed, hard to falsify, nearly impossible to falsify record that could be kept via blockchain. Adds this added area of security to this, and love that. So there are some things that could actually be laws that could actually be set up on the blockchain to trigger if somebody does this or does that. Like if in the future, when we have cars and that are autonomous, or if that your autonomous car is going faster, they just take a picture of that. Oh, they did this. Boom. They know who you are, automatically just send you a ticket. Right. So
in the future, we'll have cars
and cars that can drive by themselves.
Number 26, human resources. You know, people don't always say that they are who they really are. And what if you could do background checks and verification of employment history on blockchain? There it is on the immutable ledger, really hard to falsify. So it could make the vetting process and the hiring process a lot smoother. It's coming your way.
Yes, another one is corporate governance and business governance. Right. So, I mean, there is a lot of challenges with business accounting. You know, remember the whole Enron thing back in the day, which was just completely falsified. And then, so now there's some companies popping up in that particular space. It's going to provide governance frameworks that will enable companies to manage smart contracts on the public and permissioned Ethereum blockchains to add for more security and to add for more transparency. And there's some other stuff, probably some shareholder shareholder voting as well, and some other things along those lines.
How about credit histories? Number 26, a lot of times companies like Dun & Bradstreet, you don't have access to the data if you're a small business owner, except for, you know, your basic stuff that you give. And so the credit bureaus often feel like they have all the power, and they do. So if we take away the power from them with blockchain technology, what if, here's one, Lumina.us makes business credit reports more accurate, transparent, and shareable. That is a big deal for small business owners that want to get loans.
Number 29, 3D printing and manufacturing. So this is kind of an interesting thing. So imagine using the blockchain and then, Internet of Things and 3D printing to create more advanced manufacturing processes. That is what is happening within this. There's a company called Genesis of Things that are hoping to lower the cost of 3D printing and to also build in those other elements and those other technologies into their process.
And number 30 on this list, though there are many, many, many more, so this is not exhaustive, but number 30 is crowdfunding. And so there is a film called Braid that was the first major feature film to be financed through a token crowd sale. They raised $1.7 million on WeFund. And of course, we have all kinds of companies now that are doing ICOs and crowdfunding their startup, basically selling tokens, which are not securities, in many cases, to raise funds that they need. Lots of disruption that is already happening and much more coming your way in just about every industry. And if you're not aware of how your industry can be disrupted, now is the time to be red-pilled, open your eyes, and start seeing where the opportunity is, because you can deny that it's going to happen, but then you're going to miss the boat.
Yeah. And I also look at this as saying, you know, based on the stock market, you know, you can pick one, two, maybe three winners in each category. Like if you were thinking about who are the top, you know, retail locations, you know, that you would actually go to a department store, you're going to think probably in America, you're going to think Walmart, you're going to think Target, but there's always one or two that are going to be the leaders. And so in each one of these areas, in my opinion, there will be one or two top leaders in each one of these areas, these industries that get disrupted by blockchain. Somebody will come out and be the leader in that. And if those are the ones that you invest in, or if those are the ones that you work with, that will be a big win for you down the road. So that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to put this show together is, you know, here are all these industries that are being disrupted that have been identified already. There's quite a few more that are on the horizon. And who are the leaders in these spaces going to be? And if you can pick those and invest in them, then we all can win for sure.
Thanks for joining us on this journey down the rabbit hole as we're all falling. Because it goes deep, 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 deep. Hopefully you are as intrigued and addicted to the future of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and so forth as we are. Please share the show with others. We love you so much that Travis is going to serenade us out of the show.
Stay back.
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.